tragic story. And he decided that he wanted to take up judo. And so he tells his mom, "Mom, I want to take up some judo. I want to learn some judo." And he's missing his left arm, right? And so he starts taking these lessons from this master judo guy. Their names are sensei, I think they use them. Sensei. And so time goes by. There's about 3 months going by, and the sensei teaches him one move. And he says, "I just one move." And so the kid, not really understanding what's going on, he mustered up the courage to ask his sensei, Why is it that you've only taught me one move?" And the sensei says to him, "This is the only move you will ever need to know. That's why." And the child's like, "Okay." And he just takes that advice, and he kind of keeps working at that one move over and over and over again. So it comes time for tournament time, and this young man, he gets involved into a tournament, and he's surprised to see that with this one move, he wins his first two matches. First two matches he wins just by executing this one move that his sensei taught him. And so he gets to the third match, and the third match is a little bit harder, but nevertheless, this kid wins his match with the one move that he was taught. So here he is. He's in the finals now. And his opponent is much stronger, much bigger, stronger than him. And midway through the first part of the final round, the referee calls it, and he calls a timeout because he's afraid that this kid with one arm is going to get hurt. The sensei interrupts and says, No. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go." And so what takes place then is that, this is a true story, by the way. What takes place then is that the opponent lets down his guard as the boy goes back in. He lets down his guard, and this 10-year-old uses his one move and defeats this guy with his one move. And so he wins. He's the champion now. With one arm, he's the champion, the judo champion. And so he's on his way home, and he's reviewing with his sensei all the moves that every match and every move that they tried, and they were just talking about the game and the match, you know. And he finally musters up the courage to ask his sensei, he said, "Why did you only teach me the one move? How did I win with just that one move? How did I do it?" And he says to this kid, he says, "Well, first of all, you have almost mastered the most difficult judo takedown in judo. You've almost mastered it, first of all. Second of all, the only known defense for that move is for him to grab your left arm." And so the moral of the story is that what seemed to be this young man's ultimate weakness ended up being his greatest strength in the end. And so that's kind of what we're going to be looking at this morning as we continue in our series called He Shall Be Called. And if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to keep looking at this passage of scripture that is read every Christmas, and it is from Isaiah chapter 9. And for those of you who may not know, a couple weeks ago we looked at the context of this verse, and the context of this verse is that this is a prophetic, these are prophetic names given to who this one day will be Messiah, and these are names that are given to him 700 years before his actual birth. Now Isaiah brings this message of hope at a time of absolute turmoil and distress and despair and devastation for the nation of Israel. It seemed like all hope had been lost. They had just been overthrown by the Assyrian Empire. And here they are. They're questioning God. They're questioning his promises to them, because all of a sudden, it seems like everything was thrown away. And so here it is, at this time of despair and distress and devastation, God sends this message of hope that there will be a Messiah to come. And let's go on to verse 6. And he says, "For to us a child will be born, and for to us a son will be given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And so over these next few weeks, we're going to continue just to look at these names. Last week we looked at Wonderful Counselor. This week we're going to look at how this Messiah is our Mighty God. He is our Mighty God. Now, I want you to keep in mind a couple of things as we go through this. Number one, keep in mind that it says here that a child has been born, but a son has been given. And like Jill just said a few moments ago, the son was the greatest gift that was ever given to us. All right? And it is worded this way because the child was born, But the Son was given to us because the Son existed long before this child was born. You see, Mary gave birth to a child, but the Son existed long before. The Son of God existed long before she ever became pregnant. And so that's why it's worded in this way, that a child was born to us, but the Son was given to us. He was given to us. Now, I want you also to notice something pretty big right here, as Isaiah is saying that this child is born to us, the Son has been given, and he shall be called the Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. I want you to think about being a Hebrew at this time period and an Israelite, and exactly what this man Isaiah, this prophet, is saying. He is saying to you and to all your community of people, that this hope that is going to come into the world, this Messiah's long-awaited Savior, is going to come and he will actually be God himself. Now, I want you to think about how completely mind-blowing of information that is to receive. The hope of the world is that God himself will come to earth. He will be a God-man. A God-man. This would have been completely mind-blowing. You're telling me that this Messiah that we've been waiting for all along, this one who is destined to come and rescue us as a people and to establish his kingdom forever, he's actually going to be God himself in the flesh? He's actually going to be God living with humans? That is mind-blowing information that you have just received. And Isaiah is basically saying, yes, God will put on flesh and he will come as a child who abounds in power and strength, and he will come and he was given to us to bring us hope. The God who abounds in all strength, the mighty God, the one who can do anything that he wants to do, is choosing to come down into this earth and to show and to demonstrate his strength, his power, and his might among you humans. What? That's cool. That's cool. We know God as being a God of, he's omniscient, which means that God knows everything. He absolutely knows everything. He is the source of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And so we give him this title of God is omniscient. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He's also omnipresent, which means that God is everywhere all the time. God is right here, right now amongst us, and he is living and dwelling within us. He's in all of creation that you see. God is everywhere. He is in all the universe. He just exists from beginning to end. He is the great I am. There's no beginning to him. There's no end to him. God exists in all places. And also, God is omnipotent, which means that he can do anything. He's got the power, the strength, the might, and the ability to do anything that he wishes. And so, you know, this is something we've been taught. It's something that we know, and it's something that I know deep down inside. But if I got to be honest with you, sometimes that when we talk about the power of God, if we're all honest with ourselves, there are times when we say to God, God, where is your power? How come I'm not seeing your power? We live in a world that's full of famine and war and devastation and molestation and things of the most horrific things that we could possibly think of happening in our minds. And we think to ourselves, okay, God, where is your power? Where is your power? And I've been in numerous counseling sessions where people are going through horrific life circumstances and they say, I've seen this happen, or I've experienced that in my life, and I just don't know. God, where is this powerful God? Where are you? Where is your power? Why can't I see your power? Maybe today in your life you're asking the same question. God, where is your power in my life? And maybe you're on a pretty tough path today and you can't seem to see any way to get off of it, and you've asked God to intervene in your situation. You've asked him to demonstrate his power and his might. And you've been thinking to yourself, I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. But where is it, God? Where is this power? If you are this mighty God, where is your power being evidenced in my life? Well, let me assure you this morning that your Savior, Jesus is the Almighty God. He is the Almighty God. No one thing or no one can come close in comparison to His power and His might. Jesus' power is real. And so what I'm suggesting to you this morning is that we just may not see it the way we want to see it. Jesus' power is absolutely real, but we just may not see it the way we want to see it. But just because we don't see His power the way we want to see it or the way that we think it should be does not negate that He is the Almighty God, whose power and strength and ability is absolutely unmatched. So this morning, if you're taking notes, I just want to look at some three principles, three truths about Jesus' power and how it connects to your life. Let's look at how God's power connects to our life. And the first is this. Jesus' power is at work in you. His power is at work in you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us this. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. I'm going to read that again. Read it with me. For God's power is working in who? You. Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. The power to do what pleases Him. You know, there are times that we think, you know, whether we think of it or not, there's just these thoughts in our minds of being a Christian should be a little bit easier. It should be a little bit easier because we've got the big man on our side and His power and His strength and everything, right? But the fact of the matter is that God's power was never to make life easy for us. That's not the reason for His power. But what we see, especially in this Christmas time, is that His power came to give us living hope. This power of hope that we have, each and every one of us. But His power was never meant to just give us this easy life. God's power was not always intended to, it was always intended to be working in us. Scripture tells us that His power from the beginning has been to be working in us to what? To change us. To change us. I don't know about you, but I've experienced that in such a tremendous way where God's power has taken us from being a selfish, self-centered person into somebody who actually cares for other people, someone who actually is Christ-like and shows compassion and peace and patience and gentleness and self-control and all those other fruits of the Spirit. And His power is constantly at work, changing and molding us. You see, God's power is absolutely real. And His power is working in us. We just don't always see it the way we want to see it. Now, you want to talk about extreme power and might? For those of you who have been believers for a long time, look at who you once were and look at who you are now. There is no other way to explain it but incredible power being at work in your life. We all know who we once were. We all know who that person was and the mess of that person. And when you look at yourself now, you want to talk about extreme power? That is power. Power, the power of God at work to change someone from who they once were into somebody else completely. That is power. That is absolute power. But maybe today, this morning, you don't see God's power and you think, it looks like everybody else gets the break. You know, maybe it seems like someone else at work is getting the promotion that passed you up. Or maybe today that you think that God has put you on a shelf, that He's forgotten about you and nothing seems to be happening, that kind of stuff. And you're thinking to yourself, God, where is Your power in my life? Because you don't see it. Well, let me tell you, God's power is real. And Jesus' power is working in you right now, changing you to allow you to become more like Him, to allow you to become more like Christ. His power and His might is real. We just don't always see it the way that we want to see it. So number one, Jesus' power is working in you. Amen. Thank God. that he is working in you, changing you, and molding you with his power and his strength and his might to change you from that person who is not like him to someone who is like him. Hallelujah. The second thing is that Jesus' power is at work for you. Amen. Jesus' power is at work for you. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31, it says this, that he gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. But those who hope in the Lord will renew your strength. You know, this Hebrew word for youth actually means Olympic athlete. It means Olympic athlete. It means the best of the best. And so what Isaiah is telling us is that even the best of the best, those who are in the best of physical shape, those who are in the best of the best, the most trained, the most athletic, even those people, the most athletic of the most athletic, even they grow tired and weary. And this morning, I want you to know that Jesus' power is at work for you. And so maybe this hits home for you today. Maybe you're tired, and maybe you're weary, maybe you're worn out, maybe you're completely fried. There's no other way to explain it but those descriptions. Maybe it took you everything to come to church today. And you've got your problems, and you're weary, and you're tired, and you're worn out. And here it is, the year's coming to an end, and you are just spent. The good news is that God gives strength and power to the weary. He gives strength and power to the weary. His power goes to work for you when you're tired and when you're weary, when you've just had enough. When you place your hope in the Lord, which is what this beautiful passage of Scripture in Isaiah 9:6 is saying, for that to us a child has been given, for us a son has been born, and his name will be a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the ultimate message of hope to this Hebrew nation who had found themselves in complete just spent. I can't believe this is happening to us. I can't believe we're here. What is going on? I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm weary. And the truth and the hope is that we have this morning is that this child who was born to us, this son who was given to us, that when you replace your hope in him, he will renew your strength. His power is real. It may not look the way that we want it to look, but his power goes to work for you when you're tired and you're weak and you're weary. And I am so extremely grateful for that. This is an amazing truth that we have to hold on to. It is an amazing truth. You know, when I look back at my life, and it's amazing how that when you look back into your past, you can see God's power at work in your life, you know? Well, it's really hard. I would argue it's almost near impossible to see it sometimes in the present. That's by living by faith, isn't it? That you know that God, your power and your strength and your might and everything that you say you are is at work in me. And I can't see it right now, but I know by faith that your power is at work in me. But isn't it so beautiful that when you're able to be so far removed from your past and you look back and you say, oh my goodness, I see your power now. I see how your power was at work in my life back then. I saw how you upheld me when I was at my worst. I see how your strength was evident when I was at my weakest and my weariest and I did not know where to go. I see it now, God. It's beauty. It is so beautiful to be able to look back in your past and see that God has changed you and how he upheld you by his strength and his power and his might in your life. And when you were at your lowest point and when you were on your knees and you said, God, I need you more than I've ever needed you before. And you get up and you go through every day and it's just one step in front of the other and you can't breathe. And you know the power is at work in your life. And the beautiful part is that His power is working for you in that moment. It says His power is working for you. I'll get there. Hang on. I can't wait to look back 10 years from now. Thank you. And I can't wait to see His power at work. And His power that has been at work for me right now, my family. It's going to be awesome, and I can't wait to tell everybody about it. So that's the second thing. Jesus' power is at work for you. You may not be able to see it, but it doesn't mean negate that it's there. You may not see it, but it is there. We're getting somewhere. The third thing is this, is that Jesus' power is at work through you. Jesus' power is at work through you. Do you remember the story in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? There's a story about Paul, and he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And he's talking to them about this thorn in his flesh is how he describes it. Now, we don't know if it was a physical affliction or something else, but he talks about this physical affliction. And then he calls it his thorn in his flesh. And he says, you know, I asked God 3 times, and I even begged out to God. And I said, God, would you please just take this away from me? Would you please just take this away? And he says, I asked him 3 times. I begged him to take this away from me 3 times. And 3 times I begged him to take it away. And this is what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 10. This is God's response to him when he asked him to take it away. And he begged him to take it away 3 times. He said, my grace is all that you need. For my power works best in weakness. That's what he said. That was the Lord's response to him when he begged him over and over again, just take this away. He said, you know what? My grace is what you need. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power works best in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul goes on and he says, and so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. And that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and in the hardships and persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. How many of you ask God to take something away more than 3 times? I know I have, and I know that Paul has, so I think we're in good company. And you know, I always refer back to Jesus in that garden, and where he's praying and he's sweating blood because he's just in agony of what's about to happen, and he knows he's about to be arrested, he knows he's about to be betrayed, he knows he's about to be put to death. And what does Jesus pray? He says, "Would you, if there's any other way, God, take this cup from me. Just take this away from me. Some other way, shape, or form, would you please take this away from me? I know you've got all the power. I know you've got all the might. I know you've got the strength. You're omnipotent. You can do whatever you want. So if there's any way, God, Father, take this cup from me." And he says, "Nevertheless, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done." And I see that a lot in what Paul was going through and in our trials and the stuff that we go through. We ask God, God, you could take this away. Would you please just take this away? Just remove this from my life. But the truth and the matter is, of the matter is that all we need is His grace to sustain us. And when we rest in His grace, His power is made perfect and works best in our weaknesses. I really encourage you to allow yourself to digest this truth this week where His power is made perfect in your weakness, because it is the absolute complete reversal of the culture that we live in. That when you're weak in our culture, the mentality is to rise up in your own strength, push on, push yourself to get through whatever it is. The problem with that is that when we're so dependent upon ourselves and we're our own strong and our efforts and our own resources and our own abilities, then we're tempted to do God's work for Him. And then pride sets in. And we all know that pride is not a good position to be in. But when we admit our weaknesses and when we bring our weaknesses before God, we can actually are confirming the truth that we need God's strength. It actually puts Him back on the throne. It actually puts Him in His position of authority. It actually puts Him back as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and saying, God, I can't take another step, so I need Your strength to be made perfect in my life right now. And when we allow God to fill us with His power, the result is that we find ourselves even stronger than we ever could even have imagined. That's the truth. Jesus is saying this morning, let me be your strength when you're weak. Let me be your strength when you're weak. I don't know about you, but the very thought of that challenges everything that I'm used to. You know? You're surrounded by people who you grow up and they look strong in their own strength and that they've done it, but really the truth of the matter is that God has sustained them. God has sustained them. I've learned recently that my limitations and weaknesses are the absolute ideal platform and opportunity to display God's power working through me. And I've accepted that, and I'm okay with that, and actually I'm going to boast all the more in it, because it's when God's power is made perfect is when we're okay with being weak and we're okay with admitting that we can't do it anymore, you know, and that we absolutely need God. You know, in Paul's situation, God could have easily removed that thorn in his flesh. He could have easily. He is the God of all gods. He created this earth. He's done everything. He created the universe. He's got the power and the strength and the might to remove any problem that each and any of us face. He could just make it disappear. But God, in His infinite wisdom, saw a better solution. And that was to provide Paul with His strength. Is to provide Paul with his might and his power in the midst of the struggle. Because that is a testimony unto God. It actually declares who God is. It actually declares Him as being the amazing, mighty God. This child that was born to us, the Son that was given. When we admit our weaknesses and allow Him to be the mighty God in our lives and our absolute weaknesses, that declares Him as the Messiah. The Savior, the mighty God. And so God doesn't promise to remove Paul's affliction. He doesn't promise to remove the things that we're going through, but He does promise to demonstrate His power through him. And that's awesome. That's awesome. And so we're bringing this to a close this morning, but I want you to dwell on these things this morning. I want you to digest this week on God's power being made perfect in your weakness. Where do you need Jesus to show His strength? Where do you need Him to show His might? And for some of you here, He will show His might by removing the problem. That's awesome. Don't ever stop praying for that. Jesus even prayed for it. And sometimes He will, but most of the time, He's going to allow us to remain in it so that we gain something better. And to gain something better is meaning that we gain His strength being made perfect in our weaknesses. Amen? For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. The government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called your wonderful counselor, and He will be called your mighty God. Your mighty God. I just want to close by saying that Jesus will never fail. He will forever be the Almighty God. He does not intend for us to seek to be weak. Life provides plenty of roadblocks and potholes and flat tires enough for us to go around creating them ourselves. But when they do come, we will find ourselves at life's weakest moments, and Jesus presents Himself at that moment. In that very moment, He presents Himself as the Almighty God. And He demonstrates His power in you, for you, and through you. Amen? And all of God's people say together, amen, and thank you, and thank you. And Pastor Phil, I'm going to hand it off to you now.
Yeah.